What love, my God, would bring you down to earth? What king would take a low and lonely birth? That you might know the weakness I possess and be my rock of strength and righteousness.
Situation when we get to baptize somebody into our faith. And we are going to be baptizing Dean today. He comes to us from a different denomination, and he wants to become a member of this church. And when I asked him why, he said it's to be obedient to God. He feels God is guiding him, and he's wanting to be completely and 100% obedient to him. So today, we bring him forth for baptism. This is Dean Tyler. And, you know, he is, like I said, he is being obedient to the Holy Spirit. He has accepted Christ as his Savior. And he is wanting to present himself publicly in that decision. So, with that being said, have you accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior?
Yes.
Have you committed your life to Him, to follow Him, to learn from Him, and to be obedient to Him throughout your entire life? Then it is with great honor and privilege to baptize you as my brother in Christ, in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. These steps are small.
Lord, we just thank you for this time. Yeah, come into your house, Lord. Just use you, Lord. Open our hearts and our minds, Lord, to receive all that you have for us today. Speak through the pastor and through the pastor for us, Lord. Just thank you and we pray you. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Oh, how blessed.
Psalm 42, verse 1. As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul longs after you, O God.
As the deer panted for the water, so my soul
Psalm 18, the end of verse 1 and the beginning of verse 2. I love you, O Lord, my strength, for you are my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer.
Yeah.
You can be seated.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
All right, I pray that your week has gone well. We are continuing in the book of Revelation, chapter 6, and we are going to be in verses 9 through 17. The dramatic moment of chapter 6 has arrived. The seals that bind God's scroll are now being broken one by one by Jesus, the Lamb. Notably, as the seals are being broken, John is witnessing the events of the end times in real time. The first four seal judgments describe the Antichrist gaining control over the nations of the earth, the white horse. He will do this by waging war, the red horse, and gaining control over the entire economy, the black horse, and having his opponents put to death in the pale horse. Today we will explore the next passage in this chapter, focusing on the fifth and the sixth seals. It reveals what will happen to the souls of the Christian martyrs who are killed by the Antichrist. The sixth seal shows God's wrath being stirred and poured out and ready to unleash the further judgments against the Antichrist and the unbelievers of this world. Now, of course, I don't know exactly how these events are going to unfold in real time, but it is possible that each of these sealed judgments occurs every 6 months from the beginning of the tribulation to the beginning of the great tribulation. Or they could happen sooner than that. I don't know. But I believe God will give humanity a time period in between each of the judgments in order for them to turn to Jesus and to become true followers of Christ. People have asked me, why is it that Revelation says this is going to happen? Keep in mind, when Jesus was crucified, he took the full wrath of God in our place. And those who refuse him, those who don't turn to him and become followers of Christ, they have to endure the full wrath of God themselves. In the scripture before us, the Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus Christ himself, opens the first four seals. That's what we've already covered. And as he does this, each of the four living creatures surrounding God's throne thunders out a command. What was that command? Come forth, for each of the riders to enter into the scene. When they issued those commands, a terrible scene of an end time event echoed throughout world history. Now, I want to answer just a couple of questions that I often hear, whether they're asked of me or I see other people being this asked of. I would like to address them. Number one, is the Antichrist alive today? That's a difficult question to answer. That is a yes and no answer. No, the Antichrist himself is not on the earth yet. But the person, the physical vessel who will be the Antichrist is alive today. The next question, are we living in the age in which the first four seals have already been broken open? No. We aren't there yet. However, that time is approaching faster than ever. And it will arrive here very soon. Remember when I explained who the Antichrist is? I said that he comes in peace, meaning that he will be the one to bring peace into the entire Middle East. And that region is from Iran all the way to Egypt and the surrounding areas. That entire area has always been embroiled in war throughout my entire lifetime and before that. The Antichrist is going to bring peace amongst that entire nation area. We aren't there yet, though. But this world is getting very close to it. The title of today's message is The End Begins. And we are in the book of Revelation, chapter 6, verses 9 through 17. And I'm going to be reading from the Greek New Testament. Let's review the first four seal judgments that Jesus revealed for those who were not here. The first seal is the white horse and its rider in verses 1 and 2. The first seal depicts a white horse and its rider in a loud appearance. Who is this rider? He is the Antichrist, the one who will control the entire earth, claiming it as in the name of peace. He is the representative that is going to make people think that he is Christ on earth, that he is the Messiah, and he will be recognized as the Messiah. This man will deceive most of the world's population, including those who call themselves Christians. Now, I say it like this, not as an insult to anybody. I want to get this straight. But it is an unfortunate truth that if you are a true child of God, the Holy Spirit does not allow you to be fooled by the Antichrist. You have discernment of the evil that is unleashed on the world's population. A true child of God is protected supernaturally from the judgments also. A true child of God is protected supernaturally from the lies that are being shown in society on a daily basis. I emphasize this boldly because false teachers are misleading many people in the Christian community. These leaders are claiming to be Christians. The other people that are following them, they believe they are following Christ, but they are being misled and they don't even realize it. Even in this town, look around. There are good people, absolutely fantastic people in this town that are being led away from God by the false teachers. It's an example that is why I say the Antichrist is going to deceive most who call themselves Christians. Because Scripture also tells us that it's going to happen. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 8 to 10. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan, with all power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. It's obedience to what God is telling you through His Holy Spirit that you're going to have that discernment. Now, the second seal is the red horse and its rider in verses 3 and 4. The red rider symbolizes the war that will be fought across the entire world, not just a nation, across the entire world. And it's going to create division, more division than we have ever seen before. Even in today's standards, the division of today is nothing compared to what's going to happen in the end times when that red rider goes. He is the rider who has the power to steal peace away from this earth, leading men to kill each other. He is the rider of strife, abuse, violence, anger, insurrections, hate, war, uprisings, everything negative, everything that Satan embodies is going to be shown through the red rider. All the reasons for this world's people to commit bloodshed on a scale never before seen in history, and all of those wars combined. He is the rider who will pit race against race, class against class, neighbor against neighbor, family members, employees against employers, husbands, wives, religion against other religions, nations against nations. He is the writer who removes the illusion of peace away from this earth and causes every kind of division that he can possibly do. Now, I say illusions of peace because that is what we in today's world live with. We think peace exists, but in most of the world, peace does not. Now, I'm not talking about wars. I'm talking about the fact that people don't follow God. They don't follow the Holy Spirit, and that is the only way to have peace in your life. The Holy Spirit brings us peace, and if we're not following, we're not peaceful. This writer is the writer who will harm every human relationship that he encounters. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. And from such people turn away. Does any of this ring a bell for today's society? Every one of those should. Which leads to the third seal, the black horse and its rider, in verses 5 and 6. The black rider symbolizes the famine that this world is going to face, bringing punishment through depravity. The Antichrist's war is going to trigger a worldwide famine unlike any that has ever been seen before, forcing everyone to ration food. Matthew chapter 24, verses 7 and 8, Jesus says this, for nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines, pestilences, meaning incurable diseases, and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. What is the beginning of sorrows? The time just before the tribulation. Does any of that sound familiar to today? This leads to the fourth seal, a pale horse and its rider in verses 7 and 8. The pale horseman brings death caused by the wars, famine, and diseases. It's going to devastate this entire world to the point where it will kill one-fourth of the current population. Now, in today's standards, one-fourth of the world population is 2.07 billion people. They will die during this seal judgment. Isaiah chapter 8, verses 21 and 22. They will pass through it hard-pressed and hungry. The famine. And it shall happen when they are hungry that they will be enraged and curse their king and their God and look upward. Then they will look to the earth and see trouble and darkness, gloom of anguish, and they will be driven into darkness. The image of the four horsemen of the apocalypse is very grim for a non-believer. However, any thoughtful, honest person understands that it remains a real possibility with the weapons of today for this to be available today. The truth is that the scripture states it's going to happen. These events are going to happen right before our eyes. But as horrifying as the four horsemen events are, they are not the worst judgments that are going to take place on this earth. The worst judgments will follow the seal judgments, coming from the trumpet judgments, the bowl judgments. We are all caught up to this point in this chapter. Please stand for the reading of God's word. Revelation chapter 6, verses 9 through 17. And when he opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain for the word of God and for the witness they had borne. And they cried out with a loud voice, saying, How long, O sovereign Lord, holy and true, before you bring judgment and avenge our blood on those who dwell on the earth? Then a white robe was given to each of them, and they were told to rest a little while, until the number was reached of their fellow servants and their brothers who were to be killed, just as they had been. And when he opened the sixth seal, I looked, and there was a great earthquake. The sun became as black as sackcloth, made of hair. The entire moon became like blood. And the stars of the sky fell to the earth, as a fig tree drops its winter fruit when shaken by a fierce wind. The sky vanished like a scroll being rolled up, and every mountain and island was removed from its place. Then the kings of the earth and the princes and the generals and the rich and the powerful and everyone, enslaved person and free, hid themselves in the caves and among the rocks of the mountains. They said to the mountains and the rocks, Fall on us and hide us from the face of the one who is seated on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb, because the great day of their wrath has come, and who can stand fast? You may be seated. The fifth seal, Jesus breaking that open for that next judgment. This is where we see the souls of the world's martyrs beneath God's altar. This could be an image of every martyr that has ever died for Jesus Christ throughout all of history. It could be. Or it could be a specific reference, likely concerning the martyrs at the end times itself. I don't know. But the cry for justice against those who killed them is great, mighty, and powerful. Now that's going to occur soon. In the sixth seal. And that suggests that the reference is for the end time martyrs alone. This is a valuable thought, though. The martyrs of God are very special people to Him. And because of their strong testimony and their sacrifice for Him, they hold a very special place in His heart and in His sight. There is a powerful lesson here for believers of all ages and even non-believers if they choose to hear it. And that special message is, if you remain faithful until death, a place is close to and cherished by God, His heart, and at His throne. This should absolutely inspire every single person to stay faithful every moment of every day of your life. The world is going to oppose God's word. The world is going to persecute the believers of Christ. Why? Because God's word requires that a person prioritize his first loyalty to Jesus Christ. And in the end times, under the Antichrist, it will be a requirement for the people to give their loyalty, their priority, to the Antichrist. The world is going to respond as it does now, because God's word today calls people to live pure and righteous lives. And ultimately, people are unwilling to relinquish the control of their lives to God. They will continue to rebel against God. They will continue to do what they want, to follow their own desires instead of living according to God's way. But in the end, the rebellion against God is going to be even stronger than it is today. People are going to, even more than they do now, reject, neglect, curse, disobey, deny, disbelieve, and ignore God more than they do today. The main point of this is, in the end times, the world will completely reject God and His Word. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. The Scripture tells us how to live in God's eyes, in His righteousness. It's just up to us to follow it. Jesus today is always here for us at all times. But today, the world is willing to accept Jesus only as a great religious leader or a great moral teacher and nothing more. Ultimately, the world's rejection of Christ as being the Son of God, as being the Savior of this world, is going to grow stronger, which will lead to them wanting to kill the Christians, to end the nonsense in their view. The end time believers are going to be martyred because they will refuse to deny Christ. They will stand firm in their Savior. 1 John chapter 2, verses 22 and 23. Who is a liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist who denies the Father and the Son. If you deny Jesus in any way, shape, or form, you are an Antichrist. Not the Antichrist, hopefully, but you are a Antichrist. Whoever denies the Son does not have the Father either. He who acknowledges the Son, who accepts the Son, also has the Father. This is a given, or it should be. You can't have God the Father in your life if you don't have Jesus in your life, and you won't have their Holy Spirit in your life. When you accept Jesus, you're accepting God the Father. You're accepting their Holy Spirit to guide you through your life. You are giving yourself up. That's how this works. All too often, though, people who call themselves Christians are missing one of the three or two of the three. Look at verse 10 in our text. The martyrs are crying out for justice. They refer to God as a sovereign Lord, holy and true. Now, the Greek word for Lord is not Kyrio. It is despotes. It is used here for sovereign Lord. God is the ultimate master and sovereign leader of this universe, the creator of everything. And therefore, all prayer should be directed to the Father. Even if it's through the Holy Spirit, through Jesus, it's directed to God the Father for all the lives that belong to Him, including the lives of the martyrs, the lives of the persecutors, the lives of your enemies, the lives of every human being. But the martyrs shout for justice and for vengeance against their persecutors. This appears to be shocking, that the believers in heaven would want to seek vengeance against people on earth instead of loving them and wanting them to be saved. Is this an accurate picture of what's happening in this scene? No, it's not. This is not what martyrs are doing. The martyrs are crying out to God to stop the injustice against His Word and against His Son. It is to stop the injustice against His own glory and justice. It is to stop the injustice of sin and evil being perpetrated against Him. It is to stop the injustice of unrighteousness and to bring righteousness into the universe. They're not crying out for vengeance against the people who killed them. They're crying out for vengeance to stop the madness in the world. But verse 11 depicts the martyrs in white robes also. What does that mean? The slain are clothed in white. The white robe symbolizes purity and righteousness. believers become pure and righteous through the righteousness of Jesus. Look at what the Lord tells the martyrs, though. It will still be some time before the end of the world arrives. The question is not whether the end is going to ever arrive. It is coming. I guarantee it. It's just not time yet. What a powerful challenge this is for us. To be passionate for God and to proclaim Jesus to everyone, including your enemies. That we have not anything to fear. That we must be willing to witness for Him, even if it means that we have to die for Him in the process. And His cause of eternal salvation for others. Look around the world. It happens every day in other nations. In Africa, there's still thousands of Christians being killed daily. In Africa, today. In Muslim nations. It's happening. Today, we still have martyrs for Christ. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 8. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, His prisoner, but share with me in the sufferings for the gospel according to the power of God. Verses 12 and 14, 12 through 14, is the sixth seal judgment. And this judgment is against the universe and the world. These are the effects of God's judgment upon everything. There's going to be a great earthquake. Now, if you look at the word great, this won't be an ordinary earthquake. It's not going to be something that, you know, you're just going to willy-nilly go by and go, oh, no big deal. The idea is that this is going to go beyond anything ever known to man. Now, that's saying a lot, considering that there was a 9.5 earthquake in Chile in 1960. Scientists also say that that for the Earth to experience a 10.0 earthquake or higher, the fault itself would need to be significantly larger than any known fault in today's existence. In fact, one scientist said the fault would have to be the length of the entire Earth from North Pole to South Pole for a 10.0 earthquake or higher. The fault, we don't know anything like that. We have no idea. The subduction fault that caused the 9.5 magnitude earthquake in Chile is 1,000 miles long. Now picture the destruction of this great earthquake. All of the property, the loss of lives, the fear gripping people's hearts, the additional damage caused by aftershocks. What did Jesus say would occur in the end times? Matthew chapter 24, verse 7. For nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines, pestilences, and earthquakes in various places. How many earthquakes have we had this year alone worldwide? 102 since January 1st. And we're only in the middle of February. The prophet Joel also spoke of what will happen. Joel chapter 2, verse 10. The earthquakes before them, the heavens tremble, the sun and moon grow dark, and the stars diminish their brightness. We're seeing right here the sun and the moon are going to be eclipsed, darkened. The stars, or meteorites, if you want to choose it that way, is going to pour down upon the earth. Not just a little trickle storm that we may see here and there in the sky. It's going to pour down. Imagine what that's going to look like. The heavens are going to completely vanish. The mountains and the hills are going to be removed from their places. What does this mean? It means that men are so frightened that they are going to cry out for the mountains and the rocks to fall upon them. This is a prophetic way to describe the devastation caused by the astronomical events. The great earthquakes, the meteorites falling to earth. There's going to be complete destruction And then verses 15 and 16 reveal the world's judgment. God's judgment will impact the people. There is two important points to this. Great fear will seize all unbelievers on the earth. Note the list of those who are afraid, though. The kings and rulers, the great and powerful, the wealthy, the military leaders, the mighty and the strong, the enslaved and the free. Everyone will be in fear. Every unbeliever on earth will be struck with terror, a maddening type of fear. No one is going to escape God's judgment unless you're a believer. And there is no favor with God with unbelievers. The world of unbelievers are going to tremble in fear before the extraordinary events that will take place in outer space, falling onto earth. All unbelievers are going to cry out and wish for death. The terror and the fear is going to be so overwhelming that the world is going to be in a complete panic. People will be frantic, rushing to hide in secret dens inside of caves in the earth, begging to die. Luke chapter 23, verse 30. This is Jesus speaking. Then they will begin to say to the mountains, fall on us, and to the hills, cover us. And then verse 17 finishes this chapter with a powerful message. The great day of their wrath has come, and who can stand fast? What is the great day of God's wrath? It is the day when all unbelievers must stand before God. God who sits upon the throne of the universe. When all unbelievers must face the wrath of the Lamb. The day that they must confront the Son of God Himself, Jesus Christ, whom they had spent their entire life rejecting and denying, cursing and disobeying. The message to everyone is very clear. All unbelievers are going to face God on the great day of His wrath. And that day is just over today's horizon. God's wrath is coming for the rich and the powerful who believe that they are completely self-sufficient. The wrath of God is going to come upon the religious people who believe that they have done good enough or they currently do enough to be acceptable to God. Except there's a problem with that thought. We don't live life in a religion. We live life in a relationship. There's the difference on that. The wrath of God is coming upon the poor who believe that they are too insignificant or thought their oppression from the world would cause God to show them mercy. Nope. God's wrath is coming for the smart people, the super hyper intelligent people who believed that they were too intelligent to believe in Christ. The wrath of God is coming for the scientists who believe that they are so advanced in their education that they can disprove God. By the way, little side note, every time they try to disprove God, they just prove God even more. Just saying. But see, here's the thing. Here's the key to all of this. We just need to trust Jesus. We need to avoid facing the great day of God's wrath by just having a true and loving relationship with the Son of God. Accept the fact that He is the Son of God and just do it. Malachi chapter 3, verse 2. But who can endure the day of His coming? And who can stand when He appears? For He is like a refiner's fire. And like launderer's soap. He's here to cleanse. He's here to make stronger. Give your life to Him. In conclusion, now is the time to start the most important relationship of your life. A genuine connection with Jesus the Messiah. The Son of God. the only Savior of this world, your Savior from this world. Now is the time to set aside your pride, to come before your Maker, your Creator, to come before God, and to accept His Son into your life. The period of these six judgments is approaching very rapidly. The warning is absolutely crystal clear, and it is being shown to you daily in the news. How much of what this chapter says is relevant today? I want you to really meditate on that. Look at today's world. Look at the six judgments. How relevant is it today? All of it. Except it's not the same intensity as what the sealed judgments are going to be. But still, you can see how today's society reflects each of these six seal judgments. The time of the wrath of the Lamb is approaching very soon and very quickly. Don't wait. Now is the moment to humble yourself, to come to Jesus' altar, to start that new relationship with Him today. It doesn't matter what you have done in your life. It doesn't matter what you are currently doing now. Come to Jesus. It doesn't matter what you're wearing. The point is, come as you are. Just come to Him. Jesus said this in John chapter 6, verse 37. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me, I will by no means cast out. You will never be cast away from Christ as long as you come to Him. He's not going to force Himself on your life. Come to God now. You're never going to regret that decision. You're going to also receive protection. Protection from the wrath of the Lamb. How that protection is given, I have no idea. But these judgments are not for believers. These judgments are solely for non-believers, those who refuse to follow Jesus. And if you think that this is not going to happen within your lifetime, think again. It is already beginning to happen as we speak. We are witnessing in this world the labor pains that Jesus spoke of that would happen just before the tribulation. Watch the news. We are now at the point where the end begins. The Euphrates River is drying up supernaturally. Revelation chapter 16, verse 12 describes the sixth bowl judgment being poured out and completely drying up the Euphrates River. A board of peace has been established, currently with seven executive leaders, but it will have a maximum of 10 leaders only on the executive board. The 10 kings are shown in Daniel chapter 7, verse 24, and in Revelation chapter 17, verses 12 to 14. We're seeing the 10 kings being gathered right now. There is a central location in Abu Dhabi that is home to an Islamic mosque, a Jewish synagogue, and a Catholic church on the same location. Unofficially, it's called Chrislam. Officially, it is called the Abrahamic Family House. Look it up. The one world religion is described in Revelation chapters 13 and 17. That is the location of the one world religion headquarters. The evidence of the upcoming world tribulation is right in front of your eyes today. Accept Jesus and receive the Holy Spirit to be able to open your eyes to see what the real world looks like. Come as you are right now, as broken as you are, as in need of a Savior as you are. Step forward and accept this gift of salvation. It's free. Accept the protection that Christ will bring to you. Between the seal judgments, trumpet judgments, and the bowl judgments, there is 21 judgments of wrath. that will be poured upon this earth. Don't let yourself get to that point of having to endure that. I love you. And I will always tell you the truth of the scripture because I love you. God loves you because He's bringing these messages to you right now to show you what is in the very near future. And I do pray that you have a blessed week.
Romans 8, verses 38 and 39. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Love, wonderful love of God, so boundless and so free. To think that Christ, His only Son, should die on Calvary.
Dear Lord, we thank you for your words of wisdom and opening up our eyes to what is coming, Father. We pray that everything goes in accordance to your will, Father. We thank you for your will. Lord, help us to keep our eyes mindful to what's going on, but at the same time, be mindful of the gospel and spreading the gospel to every creature, Father. As we know, that is our mission. That is what we're sent to do, Father. Help us to spread your word to at least one person this week. And Lord, be with us and guide us through this week and bring us back at the next appointed time. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings and your guidance and direction. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Hey ho, Pastor Brian J. Bates here. Thank you for listening to this message. If you enjoyed this message, then come visit Alturas Baptist Church, located at 500 West 4th Street in Alturas, California, at 11 o'clock this morning for a brand new message that has been inspired by God. A relationship with Jesus is as easy as ABC. Visit our website at alturasbaptistchurch.com. There, you will find who we are, past sermons, giving to the ministry, and so much more. That's alturasbaptistchurch.com.
Come back every Sunday morning at 7 o'clock for the next message right here on KCFJ AM 570. If you want to check out video messages and devotionals on YouTube, then visit Living Like Christ Ministry 2023. I love you, and God loves you. Have a blessed week.